This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're back with The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Julian. Now, we've been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, should we have more non-politicians in cabinet? Had just shy of 150 votes so far. 42% said yes, but not too many. 40% have just said yes. 10% said no, while a further 7% voted not sure. Let us know what you think. We're running the poll for another hour or so. The reason why we're running the poll is on the back of news that we have two non-politicians that have just been appointed to the cabinet. Earlier, we were speaking about Tengku Dato' Sri Zafrul Tengku Aziz, who's the new finance minister. But Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin over this week also appointed Federal Territories Mufti Dato' Sri Zulkifli Mohamed Al-Bakri to be the minister in charge of religious affairs. Now, that debunked rumours that the post would be held by a PAS leader. Instead, PAS's Pangkalan Chepa MP Ahmad Marzuk Shari will be Zulkifli's deputy.
And Zulkifli is popular with many Muslims across the country for his relatively progressive views and positive interfaith attitude, and for being active on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and even Spotify. I guess that's a podcast, right?
Yeah, quite a happening chap. So Zulkifli has expressed his gratitude for his appointment and described his new post as a huge responsibility. He added that he hopes to help maintain peace and harmony in the country, with the people being tolerant and respectful of one another. Meanwhile, the Islamist Party PAS has pledged that its cabinet members will discharge their duties responsibly for the betterment of nation building.
So, for more on this, we have on the line with us this morning Professor Dr. Tajuddin Rusty, social commentator and professor of architecture at UCSI University. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Professor, and good morning. So, what are your thoughts on the FT Mufti's appointment as minister in the Prime Minister's department to handle religious affairs, and how is he viewed by people on the ground?
Well, there are two thoughts that I have. Firstly, thank God it's not Asri or Harun Sani or the Mufti from Pahang, because these people seem to be quite arrogant in their claims or statements about Malaysia and all that. The second thought I have is that is the Mufti ready to be a minister or a person responsible to the citizens? Because before this, he is the Mufti, and as a Mufti, his views or statements cannot be challenged. Because that is the highest office in religion. Now he has to be in public forums with the likes of Siti Kasim or Mariam Mokhtar, questioning his statements, and even people like Dennis Ignatius, a non-Muslim, asking about all sorts of things related to not just Islam, but also about other issues in the country. So I'm not sure whether he is cut out. I've met him at Islamic conferences, which is very mild in terms of those kind of response. But in public forums, that has yet to be seen.
And this is PAS return to the cabinet for the first time after decades. How do you think this appointment will be able to unify the nation, push the nation towards some kind of harmony and unity and reconciliation, and in fact be able to shed some of the fears that some critics of PAS have about their conservatism?
Well, if you were to look at issues such as the RU-U355, I think that has always been a ruse. I never really thought that they were going to push the thing through. It was just trying to get the Malays on their side, you know. I suspect this thing will be raising up again 6 months before the GE15. And so I think they will not be really pushing very hard for it. And I think it's also good that people like, Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man, going to be is appointed as the Minister of Environment. And so this is the time where PAS can show that they are not just conservative people, and they cannot use reasons like the haze is caused by Allah, and also the flood and deforestation in Kelantan. So they have to really back up on the scientific and also technological aspects of understanding if they are to actually show that they are part of the modern Malaysian society. And with respect to being a united country, we need to look at people who are within that perspective rather than just in a narrow-minded way that they have been projecting themselves.
And Professor, you mentioned the portfolio, which is environment, but they also got law and environment under PAS. Now, why do you think they were given these specific portfolios?
That is a good question, because I was quite surprised when Tuan Ibrahim got the portfolio for environment with Taki Yudin and law. Again, I'm not sure what the strategy was in the minds of those the Perikatan, but you know, those things happen very fast, and it was like a week or something like that for them to decide. And I do not know whether such a decision was made with hindsight, and it's still quite a mystery to me. I thought they would be getting things like Ministry of the Interior, or even the Ministry of Unity, or Ministry of the, you know, religious affairs. I think those are more in line with their way of projecting themselves.
Now, Professor, PAS was also notably left out of Tan Sri Muhyiddin's senior cabinet roles. Why was that the case? And what kind of an effect will this have on PAS's relationship with the other Perikatan national components?
I think PAS is just thankful that they are finally at the federal power. I'm not sure that they want to be overbearing or being demanding so much. Like Hadi saying that, you know, you must be Muslim and Islam must be on top and that sort of thing. Anyway, they got that. They got an 83% Malay cabinet. So if anything goes wrong, they cannot be blaming DAP or Chinese or YOLO or whatever. They have Malays and Muslims to blame. So I think they won't be making much of an issue there.
And also, in the past, we've seen a lot of corruption claims that's leveled at past leaders. And also, we saw the Mercedes saga recently. Do you think that the present government would have some kind of posturing as far as this issue is concerned?
Well, many of the past members do not look upon those money given as corruption, as what the one MDB affair was. I think they look upon it as a gift from God or something like that, or somebody just giving you money like sadaqah or charity, and that was the money that they used to do or to buy all those wealth in this world. And I think that shows the side of PAS that I actually, who was supporting them for about 30 years, didn't know. And suddenly it came out the last few years that they were as materialistic as the other people, and even sometimes the more so, that they project themselves as being of the other world, but they are really entrenched in this world. And with that, they are just not, they're just like any other so-called political party that does not have any ideology, like, you know, PPBM and all that.
And Professor, you know, in your earlier interviews with us, you mentioned that hopefully the new government would change the narrative and maybe elect more ministers from East Malaysia. So what do you think of the new cabinet's composition now? And that's a general question, actually.
Well, I consider it like pittance, you know, because if we were to do a little bit of mathematics, my idea was that since Sabah and Sarawak and Semenanjung are three partner nations, they are two-thirds of Malaysia. And their land mass is bigger than Semenanjung, but they have population that is less than a third, I think, of the whole of Malaysia. So if you average that out, I think they should be getting something like 40% of the cabinet post. And I have written and said that they should be even given, I mean, for the first time at least, the prime minister post. But the point here is that Semenanjung politicians who are mostly Malays, whether in Perikatan Nasional or in Pakatan Harapan, are not willing to give up that much, that much to the Sabah and Sarawak people. And I think my narrative speaks of an equality or justice in that realm. And so this one, it was just horse trading. And I don't see anything of any narrative coming out. It's just a few people getting a few good things. And you can see that Tiong had already rejected the deputy minister post. And that is just what we call you give me something, I give you something. And this thing occur over a few days or maybe a week or so. There's no construct of thinking about how we would share culture, how we would share economy, how we would share this and that, this and that. And so it's nothing. It's not going to amount to anything at all.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Professor. That was Professor Dr. Tajuddin Mohamed Rasti, social commentator and Professor of Architecture at UCSI University, giving us his thoughts on East Malaysia right at the end there, as well as more broadly on PAS's role in cabinet. Now, we've also been asking about whether or not should we have more non-politicians in cabinet on the back of the appointment of Tengku Zafrul, as well as the FT Mufti to ministerial positions. 190 votes so far, the broad consensus seems to be, yes, we should have more non-politicians. 42% said yes, but not too many. 40% said yes, we should. And we'll be taking a look at the poll throughout the rest of the morning. But right now, we are about to head into the 8 o'clock news. And then we have the Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Dato' Jake Abdullah, Managing Director of FAVE. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.